Good morning. Take a seat. Now, you might be expecting Andy to be up here this morning, but he's taking a well-deserved holiday for the next 4 weeks, so I've taken over this morning. For those who I haven't met yet, or you might have forgotten who I am, that's okay. My name's Chris. I'm the youth worker here, and whenever I do a morning service, I like to add a bit of the youth flavour to it, so we've got a lot of the young people helping out this morning in different ways. And this morning we're going to be doing a little bit different as well. We're going to be exploring some of the work that we are doing within our local schools at Norwood. So we've got a couple of people to come along to share about what we're doing within the school as well. So thank you for coming along this morning. If you are new to us, make sure you say hello and grab a cup of tea and coffee afterwards. But let's open in a word of prayer. And this is a prayer based on Psalm 107. Eternal God, by your word you create, and by your breath you give life. We worship you with joy and thanksgiving, praising you for the fullness that your presence brings to our lives and to our life together. We praise you that your word, you feed us. We are satisfied and there is always more. Your goodness is displayed in your wonderful works for all humanity and in your perfect love. But in our humanity, we are rebellious. And sometimes we follow our own foolish ideas, going ways which lead us away from you. And yet, when we cry out, you are always there. Your word healing our inner emptiness and pain, embracing us, leading us in your life-giving ways. For your unending faithfulness revealed to us in Christ Jesus and made present to us in your Holy Spirit. We praise you, Lord God. Amen. We're going to join again in another song. So I get the band as they just sit down again. We're going to stand and go sing Amazing Grace, My Chains Have Come Off. I said we are going to celebrate something else this morning. We have invited some people along to share some things. So we're going to talk about our church's involvement in Norwood Secondary College and what we have done there and what we're currently doing there as well. So I want to invite a few different people up at different times because it's going to be a bit of a revolving interview. Firstly, I'd like to get the guys up, as in Barry, Bruce, Doug and John, if they're around. They have to come up the front here. Here we go. Now, we have got microphones for you all. Take a seat.
It's a danger.
It is a danger there, Barry. All right, this question's for all you guys. I've got to remember where I put them now. But I get the pleasure of spending Tuesday mornings with you. We get up early, some earlier than others. Isn't that right, Bruce?
Yes.
What do we get to do on a Tuesday morning and where do we get to go?
I'll have a small walk from home to the Norwood High School. And when I get there, there's usually Bruce there behind a barbecue type machine. And we start cooking pancakes and cooking toast. And John here is usually making Milo, a brew, and we serve the kids.
What time do you guys usually get there? I've got a family to get ready, and they take a little bit longer to get ready on a Tuesday. And sometimes I have the best intentions to get there early, but sometimes I don't. But what time do you guys get there?
8 o'clock.
Ten to eight.
8:05.
Chris usually brings the evening copy of the Herald for us.
So as you said, what's the process? You talked about what we serve for breakfast, but roughly, John, maybe you can answer. How much do we go through, do you think? I mean, how much pancakes and how much toast and my ideas go for, John? What do you think?
We go through about 30 packets or bottles of pancake mix a month. We go through about 6 loaves of toasted raisin bread, and we go through probably in a month about 12 or 15 litres of Milo. And we decided earlier this year to save me as the Milo king having to wash all the mugs up. We invested in the disposable cups, which has been a great blessing. Well, you know, Chris comes so late and he has to he has to disappear so quickly afterwards. This bloke goes to golf and this bloke walks home, so I chat to myself.
How long have you guys been serving? I mean, we'll go in this order, actually. We'll go Barry, Bruce, Barry, John and Bruce. How long have you guys been serving?
Probably, I don't know, 7 years?
7 years? John?
I think I started the year I took over North Ringwood Care, so just on 5 years.
I'd like to digress, if I could, a little.
Yes?
I'd like to comment about the church's involvement with Norwood.
And that's what we're going to connect to you, yeah, okay.
Which is probably, as far as I'm concerned, have been about 20 years plus. So we started, or I started with some other people, a lunchtime program. And that morphed into a number of different involvements. You can remember some of the involvement we had at various places. So through that lunchtime, through mentoring, through breakfast, to where we are now, there's probably been a time of at least 20 years involvement within the church and through Norwood. Part of the original program, I think, was when, as a church, you might remember, we were involved in Christian community education in schools, and we had a chat through a chaplaincy program that we ran here, and then they morphed into various other aspects of our involvement with Norwood. So it's been going a long time with the council, with the school, and with the various church community. We've had a long, happy involvement with Norwood High School.
And say that, I've been here for 14 and a half years now. And so
that long?
Thanks, John. So for as long as I've been here as well, I took over what was going on the previous year's workers and their roles within the school. But as Bruce says, our involvement has been at a time whenever the school's wanted us to do something, we've been involved. And so it has been from a time from making breakfast, what it has been now, to previously where we were running lunchtime programs. We used to have a quiz on lollipops, and they'd come in and they'd do their quiz and have a chat with us, play some Uno, and then grab a lollipop and go. And then we do all sorts of other sort of things as well, so mentoring programs. So we've been involved with the school. We've had a great relationship with the school for a long time now. And as some of you might remember, when we were building this extension to the church, we met in the Norwood Secondary College Hall.
We did.
So our relationship has stretched that long, and it continues to grow that. Now, I just want to ask you gentlemen, I mean, is there a story that comes to mind that you would like to share about the breakfast program and your involvement, or maybe your relationship with the students as well?
I think one of the interesting things is the interaction that takes place with the kids, and there's a couple of special ones that come along, and the other week, this little lass, she looked at me and she said, "Would you like some help?" So she put a school bag down and came behind the table where we got the pancake makers and so on, and just started serving and interacting with the kids that are coming along. And I think that's just as important as actually giving food out. One of the questions I got asked the other day was, well, how many kids do we actually see each week? And we reckon it's somewhere between 40 to 50 kids come and participate and partake of the things that we offer each Tuesday morning. So it's a very important program to be part of.
And before you tell your story, Bruce, yeah, we find that breakfast isn't just to feed them. It is a big social thing for some of our students as well there. They might not be a bit socially isolated or might not have any friends, so they come to us and help and serve. And some of them who had that long relationship where they've actually developed some leadership skills within that. And so it has been a great atmosphere where that happens, where it's not just a breakfast program where people get fed, it's a place where people can hang and belong and feel welcome. Bruce, I'm sure you got a story.
Did you know? I guess it goes back a number of years now where we were doing breakfast at the this guy used to come along and he would actually arrive before we did and start setting up the place for us to continue on with the program. And I used to mentor this boy at Norwood, and one of the things that I still remember, and it's a real treasure for me now, is that when he was going from year 8 into year 9 middle school, during one of our mentoring programs, he came up to me and he said, "Will you help me decide what subjects I want to do in year 9? And that stuck with me, and I think that is a great example of how, as a church, as a community, we can make a difference in the lives of these young kids.
We want to, so it's like, stories like that we hear all the time, and we get to build relationships up with some of our students there, and it's a great way to be Jesus in the world. And sometimes we, most of the times we don't even talk about Jesus, but they always ask where we are, what we do, and come from the church, so it's always good just to keep that in our mind. So as a church, we want to recognise you guys for doing it, and especially for Bruce, for 20 years. We haven't got a badge to give you, but maybe on Tuesday we can give you a pancake with a special insignia on it or something like that.
As long as you make your own, you're okay.
You can make your own badges. As a church, we want to thank you guys for the commitment that you guys put each Tuesday morning into the school community and to serving the school from the church as well. So we want to thank you guys for that. Thank you. Yeah, Bruce and Barry to hop off. We're going to get John to start here. I'll get some people from Norwood to come up. So Jackie, Shana, and Annie, can you come up here?
Thank you.
There we go. Jackie, don't know how to use his microphone. I mean, we can give you a headset if you want. Yeah. These guys are from a staff at Norwood. So you'd like to introduce yourselves and your role at Norwood.
So I'm Jackie. We're the wellbeing team at Norwood. So I'm a school counsellor. And so that's my role is to work in there full time.
How long have you been at the school for?
So I've been at the school since the start of last year.
Yep.
My name's Annie. Good morning, everyone. I've been at Norwood for 2 years now. Last year I was just a teacher, and this second year, 2018, I've taken on the extra role of being in student wellbeing.
Hi, I'm Shana. I've been at Norwood for over 10 years, so a lot longer than these ladies, and I've been a classroom teacher for all of that time, and I've just recently this year started in the wellbeing team.
Well, I'm a parent of kids who used to go to Norwood many years ago.
So what, John, I mean, you're just talking about question to you now. What other ways do we serve the school? What other ways does this church help serve the school?
One of the things that we became aware of through this program is that there are a number of kids who unfortunately turn up with nothing in their bags or support for having lunch. So one of the things that we do is provide what we call emergency food, and these are generally high energy muesli bars, those cup of soup things, that when these ladies and other staff members have identified a kid who is at risk, they can quietly take them aside, give them some of the muesli bars, the cup of soups. And in that way, it ensures that they've got something in their tummies to see through the remainder of the day. And it's very often not really known until about lunchtime or slightly after, when a kid fronts up and says, "I'm not feeling the best," and they discover that they haven't eaten or haven't had lunch. Many reasons for them not coming. It's probably dysfunctional families. You have families who both parents work, not that I'm saying that that's wrong, but they leave early, the kids are left to prepare for themselves, and they do arrive with having nothing to take them through the day. So we support by providing at no cost to the school this emergency food.
And guys, how have you been able to use that food? I mean, John elaborated there, but how do you guys actually use it?
literally every lunchtime. We have students that will come down, and we also have students that we are aware do not bring food, but are also too proud to ask. So having that sort of food on hand to offer, it's quick, it's easy for the kids to eat, and it looks like everyone else's food as well. So they're not afraid to take it from us. And it makes a huge difference, particularly as a teacher as well. Students are a lot more attentive in class and able to concentrate when they've actually eaten something at lunchtime. Makes a huge difference, and we truly appreciate it.
Because some, just like adults, some students are a bit too proud to ask, aren't they? So that's where you come and you know some of the students, and the relationships that you guys build up with them helps with that. Is that correct?
Yeah, definitely. There's some students that we know that struggle don't have that money to bring lunch and have those things. So we try to do it in a way that, not to embarrass them, and having those things there that you provide for us is makes it a lot easier for us to do that.
Technical difficulties.
Can I say something?
Yeah?
You really hit the mark. We hear people don't know what it's like not to have food. And how can kids concentrate at school if they don't have something in their belly?
And it's, oh, sorry, go ahead,
Jack. I was just going to say, and that's what is also so important with the breakfast club, is that, you know, they do say that they need breakfast to function, and, you know, it's so important that they're getting that in the mornings.
And it could be the fact that it's not just come from needy families, but also the fact that they might have had to get their brothers and sisters ready for the morning, or they might have had to rush out before getting breakfast themselves. So that can be used for in that situation as well. And John, I know there's been times in the past where we've been able to give food hampers and food parcels out to some people in the school. Is that correct, Claire?
Yeah, I was just going to say that's one of the other aspects that if Jackie and her team identify families who have hit the wall, are experiencing a very difficult time, we can take them on board as one of our North Ringwood Care clients, and they can come to the service here as long as they need to get them over the hump. And it's all very much about maintaining privacy and, most importantly, maintaining their dignity. Imagine what it'd be like to walk in here and you don't know anybody and you're asking for food. It's something that we experience every day of the week. It's something that the school also experiences, and they find families in difficulties. Well, we can gladly help them by providing food hampers and referrals to some of the other agencies that we work with.
Now, it hasn't all just been one way as a church coming to the school, has it? I mean, John, do you want to talk about the food drive that we have?
Yeah, I think it started probably about 4 years ago. The idea came up that would the kids like to help us? So it was with Mike Hamilton, the then chaplain, that we came up with the idea of doing a food drive. So what we did and what we continue to do is we invite the leaders, the student leaders of the grades, and we usually do it with year seven. We bring them here, we show them through the Mica room where we do the interviews, we let them walk through the pantry to see our stock. And the other thing that we like to show them is the thing behind that fence, the welcome garden, so they can see where our volunteers are growing vegetables, fresh seasonal vegetables that we can give away to clients. And we also explain to them how we use the garden as outreach to clients from Knox Brook in Ferndrea Gully that Barry Turner brings the folk along to on a Monday, and they participate. Because the thing that we found, it gives them an understanding of the needs in the community. These kids quite literally are surprised to find that in what is regarded as basically a middle-class suburb, that there is a need. And when we start telling them about the number of people that we service each year, the number of bags we take, give out, it helps them, and they go back and they do a fantastic job of selling that support to the other students. And it's taken 3 years, but we've finally got there to explain that not everybody in need eats baked beans.
And so, you guys, do you want to just share about the school's take on the food drive and that?
Yeah, so that's, as you said, John, it's our Year 7s that really take on that initiative. And they have a bit of a competition from each class to see who can bring the most food and the most goods. And then they get rewarded with a picture lunch that John provides for them. So it's pretty full on. They take it very seriously and they try to get as much as they can.
Who thought food giving could be a sport or competitiveness, is that right? Now, as a final thing, as you know, we're a church that continually prays and thinks of the community. What ways can we pray for the school and what are some of the needs at the moment?
Yeah, at the moment, we'd like all of the students, their wellbeing and safety is something that we want to be praying for. But in particular, our Year 12s are about to embark on their sort of final journey. They've been in our school for 6 years and they're gearing up for their exams. So they're a special group that we would like to make sure are well looked after in the coming weeks. We also have a very special initiative going on Tuesday with Are You OK Day, and I'll just hand over to Annie because she's doing something very, very special to try and raise funds for that very worthy cause.
It's not just myself, it's definitely been a team effort. We've got a range of activities on the day in order to actually make it a celebration and to raise some well-needed funds for the charity, Are You OK? Myself, along with one of the other male teachers at school, will be shaving all of our hair off, and we've been fundraising madly for the last few weeks in order to raise enough money to make a significant contribution. I purposely wore my hair out today so everyone can go, wow! I've had long hair for a very long time and it's been something that's been playing on my mind, so when we were talking about it earlier in the year, I thought this could be a way to make it really significant. So please keep me in your thoughts on Tuesday. I feel fine about it now, but I will probably feel very differently come Tuesday morning when...
I'm more stressed about it.
In all honesty, I feel more sorry for the people having to look at me than myself. But I'll be doing it at lunchtime in front of the entire school community, and I've got a Year 12 student who will be doing it for me. So I am, now I'm talking about it, I'll probably get a little bit more nervous about it on Tuesday. But please do keep me in your thoughts. And I think there is a link, hopefully, that we can be sharing with you guys if you choose to donate some funds. That would be very much appreciated. I have technically hit my target, but every dollar counts.
Trust me, when you get to my age and you just get out bowlers, you don't need blow dryers.
I'm very much looking forward to that. It takes a long time from start to finish, so the idea of shortening that down every morning is very desirable.
And I'll give you your tissues now so you can cry.
Just on that, Are You OK? Day is a very important day within our schools. Mental health, as you are aware in the community, it's very prevalent in our schools at the moment, and it is... something we all need to be thinking about and praying about, not just for our students, but including their parents, the school community, and our church community as well. So it's good to highlight that. But when we're praying about that sort of stuff there, pray about all our other things as well in our community. Thank you guys for doing that. Now, Jackie's going to stay here, John's going to stay here, and Shane are going to duck off. So thank you guys for coming this morning as well. My wife, Marcel, and Sarah up here. Now, we're going to talk about something that we've embarked on this year as a church, and we have and it came about in a wonderful way. Now, do you want to just introduce yourselves again? So, Jackie, you know, and John, not again, mate. But Marcel and Sarah, would you like to introduce yourselves?
I'm Marcel, so I do CRT at Norwood, casual leave teaching, and also help Chris with the handling.
And I'm Sarah Cullen. I'm from Maroondah City Council and I'm the School Focused Youth Service Coordinator.
Now, Sarah, would you like to just briefly talk about how we orchestrated a partnership between North Ringwood Uniting Church, the Maroondah Council and Norwood Secondary College?
Sure. Do you want me to say a little bit about what School Focused is, maybe?
Yeah, you can.
For context?
Yep.
So School Focused Youth Service is funded by the Department of Education and Training, and the purpose is to try to support schools to support their at-risk of disengaging young people. So basically, I work with all the schools in Maroondah, primary and secondary, ages 10 to 18, and obviously Norwood is a school that I've been working with and have connected with, and I provide networks and resource sharing and that kind of stuff. So basically, in all honesty, I think it was a lot of luck and a lot of stars aligning for this project to become what it has become. I just happened to meet with somebody who'd contacted my team leader wanting to talk about this hands-on learning program, and he'd kind of handballed it to me to follow up, which I did, and I met Jess and she told me about this project and my background's as a youth worker, and I thought, oh my goodness, this is amazing, this makes so much sense. Of course, it's a wellbeing program. It's about, you know, trying to help young people stay connected to school, but not focusing on sitting in a classroom being talked to. It's about doing, you know, hands-on, actual practical hands-on projects around the school that helps connect them to the school. It also helps build their confidence and their well-being and their self-esteem. So I'd met with Jess on the Thursday and thought, this is great. Happened to already have a meeting plan with Jackie on the Friday, and we were talking about some of the needs of the young people at Norwood, and I just happened to mention about this program called Hands-On Learning that I'd met with the person the day before, and Jackie was like, oh wow, that's amazing. And then I think it was over that weekend, I think you'd emailed me, I came in on the Monday, and you're like, right Sarah, this is great, this is amazing, I'm going to go talk to the principal. And I think then you literally did talk to the principal and you got the verbal okay. And it kind of all just sort of snowballed from there. We had a chat about, okay, what might this look like? The standard model for the program usually happens where a school will use two of their teaching staff to move into that program as an artisan teacher. But my background as a youth worker, and I guess Jackie's understanding of the needs of the young people, we sort of thought, well, we don't want it to be like a classroom, so we don't want a teacher in there unless they actually are quite exceptional at building rapport with young people and are able to take off their teaching hat, which is very rare, and as you'll find out in a moment, we've been extremely lucky in who we've been able to get in that spot. But I've worked across Maroondah for a number of years, and I happen to know that Chris worked out at Melba, and I'd worked at Melba for a year, and I knew that he had exceptional skills in terms of not just working with the young people, but actually engaging with the staff as well. Why are you smiling? It's true. It's a true fact.
It's called modesty, Chris. Modesty.
But I had known, and I happened to say to Jackie, oh, yeah, there's this awesome chaplain over at Melba called Chris. And she's like, oh, I know him too. He'd be great. And then Jackie, because she's incredibly proactive, had a little chat to Chris, just flagging the idea to see if this was even something that he may be interested in. And he said, oh, yeah, sounds all right. And then from that, I contacted Chris, and he arranged a meeting between myself, him, Andy and John, where I basically came along and I said, look, we're running this project. It's going to be amazing. I would really like Chris as one of the artisan teachers because he's got exceptional skill working with young people and with teaching staff. I may or may not have the funds, and I pleaded. I don't know if I pleaded, but I basically said, look, I want Chris. I will find the funds to fund him, but if your church is able to give him to us for that time, that would be absolutely amazing, because in my program, because of just the way the department works, I can't pay the teacher wages because it would essentially be the department paying themselves. Anyway, that's beside the point. And so in that meeting, yeah, some stars aligned, because as I was talking about the project, Andy was sort of saying, look, Sarah, this is aligning with what some conversations Chris and I had been having recently about the work that we wanted to do at Norwood and that we wanted to do in the community. And then it's kind of just gone from there. And then we're looking for a second artisan teacher, and I'll let you guys explain that because I think that's kind of more exciting.
Andy, John, do you want to talk? John, do you wanna talk about how we had a meeting with us and stuff there, and how it came about?
Yeah, Chris presented this proposal to the church council back in March or April of this year, and it suddenly dawned on us that this was one of the ways that we could increase our footprint in Norwood. And it's very important to talk about that because we realised that it was relatively easy to hand out food, to hand out, be at the breakfast side of things, but to take it to the next level where we were interacting with kids and we could see the real benefits and the values of that. So this proposal came to the council, and after we discussed it, what the council agreed to do was to, what's the word I would use, to rejig Chris's hours. Chris works for a number of hours for the church and has done that for a long, long 14 and a half years, as he reminded us. So we looked at saying, okay, well, we can move the hours around, still stay within the 24 that he does, but we could use those, some of those hours, to provide this face-to-face support with the kids in this hands-on learning program. And then when Sarah came along, and I think you can probably sense she's quite a bubbly, excitable person, and she didn't have to take much selling for the idea for us to say yep. So the council agreed and supported to change Chris's hours so that what we do on a Tuesday morning, we finish off breakfast, he goes away without cleaning up. I have to speak to him about that. And he goes straight the way into the program and spends Tuesday working with Jackie and the other folk in a face-to-face, hands-on situation. So we were pleased to be able to give that support to this program. And I think you've probably heard it's already paying dividends.
So just to pick up on a couple of things that everyone said, that that as before that Sarah and Jackie came to us, Andy and I were looking at different ways that we have a different, more of a footprint within the school, and looking at different things and praying about, well, how can we do that? And we started having a conversation with John regarding that and the council. So we almost took another proposal to church council to talk about that. Came into it, and then we thought, oh, well, obviously God's working within this sort of atmosphere. A relationship, it is a partnership between the three entities, between school, the school and the council and our church as well. It is not just, at the moment, it's just me giving my time at the moment, but we are looking at how we can extend our resources from within here. The hands-on learning project is basically all about hands-on, and so we will be utilising from time to time people within our congregation to help out and to lend their hands-on learning skills to build relationships up with some of these students and also to help out in terms of building stuff. So we are looking as a partnership between the three entities, and it's not just here have that. One of the things about the Uniting Church is, as in our report assembly, what's it called? Basis of Union. There we go. It has got that we are a serving church in there. There's elements in there that we do serve the community within there, and this is a perfect example of how we do that. Now, Jackie, do you want to talk about just what is hands-on learning and go from there?
Sure. So hands-on learning is a program that is for students that are disengaged from your traditional learning. So students that don't really like sitting in that classroom for the whole day, having to sit still and look on a board and learn. So they're kids that are more practical. And so what we found at Norwood is we do have some students, like every school, that are disengaging from education. So they're not coming to school. They don't want to be there. So we've tried to highlight those students, and then on a Tuesday, they participate in this program with Chris and Marcel, and they do, well, I mean, you have a bit of a chat with them as well, but also more hands-on things. So they've, you know, recently just made some big wooden boxes to put their uniforms in. They've spray-painted those, and they're doing some painting at the moment. So, you know, they're still, we're trying to engage them back into school and make them feel a bit more part of it than part of school. And that's what the purpose of this program is.
And Marcel, where do you fit into all this?
I'm quite hands-on. Chris is not very hands-on.
I'm learning, and my wife will tell I'm not very hands-on. She's nodding in the back there. It's all good.
He's a great supervisor.
He's a gunner.
No, he's the heavy lifter. We basically just bounce off each other and do a lot of well-being stuff, a lot of the hands-on stuff, as everyone else has said. What else is there?
So how did you feel, how did you come into it? How did you start into it?
How did I start? I got a Facebook message from Chris one night saying, hey, if you are willing to, like, do you want to be a part of this? And he explained the entire thing. He said, it's going to be voluntary, but if you are happy to do it, let me know. And I was like, yes, of course. I love that. So that's basically, we went from there.
I was just going to say, Marcel is a CRT teacher at Norwood, and all the students really like her. And so, yeah.
So it really was a perfect fit because she's well-liked, she knows the school, and as she just said, and Chris has said before, on that Tuesday she comes in and she volunteers. So she, usually if she was doing CRT, get paid. But, yeah, so we're really lucky at Norwood to have her
team. And I just want to highlight that this is a very unique model. Like I said, the other models usually, as a school, will put aside two staff and they'll pay those staff to run that. So having two people who are essentially volunteering their time is pretty amazing and pretty phenomenal, and they're obviously incredible human beings, as are all of you for allowing us to have Chris. So it is a very unique model. So I don't actually know of any other models that run like the way that we're trying to run it. And we are doing it as a bit of a pilot, because obviously, because I'm funded by the department, I need to present back to them to basically say, yes, this model does actually help young people to re-engage with education. And this model will be advocating that this model is actually taken up by other schools, at least to trial it, so they can see for themselves what a difference this can actually make in the lives of young people.
And for last question, 4 weeks into the program, how do you guys think it's going with Marcel and Jackie in particular?
I think it's going amazing. Some of these students that, as I said before, are disengaged cannot wait for Tuesdays. It's their favourite day. They love coming into school on that day. Teachers are starting to see them in a different light because they're not just the naughty kids that are behaving badly in the classroom. They're out there, they're working hard. I mean, you would see in the room some of the things they do.
I guess I have a unique sort of view on it because I do teach them as well as do the program with them. So there's been a huge, huge difference in a lot of the kids, but mostly all of them. Some of them don't come every other day, but the ones that are there regularly, a huge difference. They're way more polite, more willing to help if you ask them. Like, we've got a couple of the Year 8 boys who've usually they're, so we have a Compass Chronicle, which like teachers write on how they're going. Usually it's like in trouble, and then we've had a massive difference in like he was willing to help out without even being asked. He volunteered to do like just crazy stuff that they would never have done before.
Yeah.
What else? I don't even know.
No, I think many things. Yeah, they're really enjoying those Tuesdays. They love it.
Yeah, so we wanted to highlight the congregation because the church council has taken this step this year, and as Bruce and I said earlier, we've been having a 20-year relationship with the school, and this is something significant that we are doing within the school community. We wanted to highlight it. Church council were aware of it, but we wanted the church congregation to know about it as well. One last thing as well, you would have got in your notice sheet this morning the Pick My Project type thing. That is to do with the funding for this project. There's two areas that we are looking in there in terms of, you know, we are redoing a wellbeing room and we are doing a garden at the back. So if you do want to have a look at that and how you can vote for that, that project is to get some more funds for this project to keep on going there. But we do, so if you have any questions regarding that, come speak to us afterwards. But we do want to thank these guys from Norwood and Marina Council to come and share with us this morning, and thanks for your time. And we'll be sharing some things along the journey in terms of how we are going as a church and how we're going as a community within this partnership. So thank you guys for coming and sharing with us.
Thank you very much.
Now I'm going to invite Jesse up to have a moment of prayer for us.
So it's... Yep. So it's from James 2, 1-17. My brothers and sisters, believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. Must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes to your meeting wearing gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet." Have you not discriminated amongst yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen those who are poor in his eyes, in the eyes of the world, to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. It is not the rich who are exploiting you. Are they not the ones who are dragging you into the court? They are not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong. If you really keep the royal law found in the scripture, love your neighbour as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favouritism, you sin and are convicted of the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not commit murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes or daily food. If one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm and well fed, but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself is not accomplished by action, is deed. Is dead.
So we've had a wonderful experience of the gospel in action this morning. And we've talked about how the church is partnering with different aspects of the community. And you know, I did have a long sermon here, but I think I'm going to shorten it because I think the message of this morning is just as good. But there is a few points that I want to pick up on that text. Because really what we've talked about this morning is partly the text in action. And it is good to see the Bible in action within our lives. But as long as what we do with it as a community, there are some individual calls in that as well. See, as a community, we do great things. We don't show favoritism. As a church, you know, we are welcoming to the people in the poor. We're welcoming to that. We are welcoming by the North England Care and by the stuff we do it within the schools. And as a community, as a church, we follow that passage really well. But the challenge is for us to do it individually. The challenge is for us to do it, to see moments in our lives where we can see people in need, people marginalised. Because as a community, we seem to be doing a good job of it. We've got different things going on. We've got medical sailing ministries. We've got the community garden. We've got Northwood Care. We've got all that sort of stuff going on. And sometimes it is easy to sit here and just say, yep, we're doing a good job as a church. We're doing good. But as individuals and as Christians, we need to be following that. See, as Jesse picked up in his prayer, that at the moment, sometimes Christianity is getting a bad rap. The politicians both here and overseas are claiming to be Christians, but their actions don't follow it. And so people are judging us by our actions. And here, James is picking up on that, saying, let your actions follow what you say. And as I said, as a community, we are a beacon within this community to doing that. But do we do that individually? Do we look to see amongst us who we're showing favoritism to? Who we're excluding? Who we're not purposely doing it, but who we are leaving out? Are we moments in our individual days where we could help some people? See, I want to show the last video, Matt, if you could do that. Just all these other PowerPoints can go. You can just go into the next one. Go to the last video. And I want to show this video, and it'll be a good way to wrap up, and I'll just finish it at the end of it. So,
in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is asked the question, which is the greatest commandment? He answered, love God with all of your heart, and with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then again, at the Last Supper, he says the same thing, but with a twist. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. This time, Jesus replaced your neighbor with one another.
This new love that Christ commands of us goes much deeper than the Old Testament commandment he was quoting in Matthew. The people we have been commanded to love has expanded beyond our neighborhoods to include, well, everyone. And this includes people who might make this commandment a bit difficult, like that confrontational coworker who just seems impossible to get along with, or your in-laws who've never treated you like a part of the family, or maybe the person you just met who you don't even know and really need some help. You see, Jesus knew his physical time on earth was nearing an end. So in this new take on the old commandment, Jesus also made another change. The words "as yourself" became "as I have loved you." Wow, that's a tough act to follow. Christ's sacrificial life provides a clear and concrete example of real and true love. And he put this love on display on a daily basis with his disciples. He was patient with them, speaking kindly and showing great concern for their welfare. He instructed, counseled, and comforted them, prayed with them and for them. He admonished them for wrongdoing, and yet compassionately bore with their failings. And most of all, he gave his life, dying so that they, and we, might live. According to Jesus, this is how others will know that you are one of his followers. Not because you have a shirt or a bumper sticker that says so. Not because we announce it from a stage or a blog or a status update. But because they look at you, at how you live, the things you do and say, and they see Jesus. They see love.
See, this is what James is getting at. James is saying that our faith isn't a bumper sticker, isn't a slogan, isn't a status update. It is how we are as people. It is how we are as a community. We are called to serve our people. We are called to serve each other. We are called to love each other. And James is saying in the text that Kimberly wrote, read, that we need to do it. We need to show it to everyone, not just our friends, the people that it's hard to do, our boss, our family, the people that we just met. It's great when the Bible inspires us, when God inspires us. Hopefully, by hearing some of the stories this morning, you have been inspired by what's happening within our community, but also let it inspire you to how you can serve and how you can be as Jesus to the people around you. And not just by words, but by action. Stir us on into who you want us to be. Let us just pray. Dear God, we thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you that you first loved us. That you loved us so much that you died for us. Lord, there are times when we have fallen short, when we have shown favoritism to others, and we have ourselves been left out by your own community there, Lord. Lord, inspire us. Help us to be your words in action. Lord, highlight the moments in our lives where we can be you to our people. Where we don't have to say anything, but they realize there's something about us that we love them unconditionally. Lord, let us be beacons of you within our community, both as a church and individuals. We pray these things in your mighty and wonderful name. Amen. So I'm going to invite the band to come up here and I sing an old hymn called "Here I Am, Lord." And it's about picking up an old stories within the Bible and where God had called people in there and they've said, "Here I am to serve you." And so think about how we can do that within our lives. So as we close, I want to make mention of one thing as well. I mean, you would have walked, as you came in, you would have seen the lovely new display board that I think Jenny Hill put that together there. So if you haven't seen it already, take an eye out of it and have a look at it later after the service, just in the foyer there.
We're going to close in prayer now. So let us go forth with the knowledge that we are loved, that you do not show favoritism, that you love us all equally, regardless of our status in the community. Lord, inspire us, encourage us to do the same, to love all people equally, and to show your love within ourselves and within the community. We just pray this in your mighty name. Amen.